In the Gospels, just as we saw last week, Jesus turns things upside down time and time again. In God's world, it seems, the order of all things important will be reversed. Just as we heard last week, all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Today's gospel passage from Luke absolutely drives home the upside down, wrong side up good news. To paraphrase, are you crying and weeping? Don't worry, because you are blessed, and you will laugh and sing. Do people hate, banish, ostracize you, and revile you on account of the Son of Man? Be joyful, be of good cheer, because your reward will be great in heaven. Their grandparents hated the prophets as well, you know. The poor and the hungry are called blessed, for their fortunes will be reversed as well. Good news indeed. If you're poor and hungry and weeping or excluded for God's sake. But for me, that leaves, or at least begs, a very important question. What about those, perhaps even those of some of us, who have more than enough food, who have more than enough welcome, who have family and friends who love us? What about those? Perhaps even those of us who can buy a ticket or go to a concert or go to a nice restaurant. Or perhaps we're very rarely persecuted. Good news for them as well? For us? Perhaps? Perhaps not so much. The four blessings in Luke's version of the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount, are matched precisely point by point with woe to you statements. 3 days after Halloween, one might even call them a curse, but it does seem very odd and out of place to quote a curse about anything from the Lord of Love. The rich, the amply fed, the laughing and the partygoers, and the well-regarded, all your fortunes will be reversed, Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke. If there are many people in North America hearing this message and not raising an eyebrow or two or not squirming in their seats just a little bit, perhaps they are not listening or reading to this passage as closely as one could. Of course, it is easy to dismiss the Beatitudes written in the Gospel of Luke as the vehicle they have sometimes become, a way to placate the oppressed with the promise that injustice now is a part of God's greater plan to redeem them through suffering in the end. In 1911, an American labor activist called Joe Hill wrote a parody song of lyrics to the tune Sweet By and By. He entitled it The Preacher and the Slave. Most people know it as Pie in the Sky. In this song, Hill mocks the tendency of some preachers of the time to tell those who were oppressed or downtrodden or facing incredible injustice or prejudice to work hard and not complain because their reward is in heaven. Here are the lyrics. Long-haired preachers come out every night. Now, I must admit, just to stop right there, I must admit that surprised me a little bit for a turn of the century. Long-haired preachers? I'm going to have to do a little research on that. Here it is. Long-haired preachers come out every night, try to tell you what's wrong and what's right. But when asked about something to eat, they will answer with voices so sweet, you will eat, by and by, in that glorious land above the sky. Work and pray, live on hay, you will get pie in the sky when you die. It was, in fact, Joe Hill who coined the phrase pie in the sky, interestingly enough. It's truly ironic, I think, that Joe Hill likely lived out the Beatitudes more than any preacher he was talking about. He certainly went hungry. As a social labor activist at the turn of the century, you can be sure he was reviled and persecuted and probably bolted forcefully out of town on many occasions. Christians, and in particular preachers, might well be in danger of falling into the pie-in-the-sky trap if they believe or preach or only focus upon this small part of the Luke's Beatitudes, or if they read or preach on the Sermon on the Mount, on Matthew's Gospel. It is easier to play around or analyze or interpret Jesus' words in Matthew, where there are 9 Beatitudes and no woes and no bads. There's no other alternatives. The blessings there in Matthew's Gospel are far more spiritual and much more reassuring. But this is the Gospel of Luke. And as I mentioned last week, Luke is the Gospel of the oppressed, of the hungry, of the poor, of the marginalized. And I would argue he alone of the Gospel writers gave a voice to women. Any Christian who closely reads the Gospels and takes seriously the entire Gospel passage we heard from Luke today cannot find any way around the fact that this Luke's voice is the voice of the oppressed, the hungry, the poor, the marginalized, and women. We cannot maneuver around the fact that this voice calls out loudly throughout the ages from Luke's Gospel. Now remember, as I said last week, Luke wrote what I think is the greatest passage ever written in any language, and he relates the story where the poor, lonely, and struggling shepherds, rather than kings, greet the newborn Messiah. If those listening to Jesus on the Mount of the Olives, or we Christians today hearing these words, are still sitting in stunned silence and conflict, having heavy hearts over these verses, Jesus lets us know an even loftier expectations that he would expect of his disciples. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. If anyone strikes you on a cheek, offer the other also. Do as you would others have do to you. In the world here, it seems more bad news for any of us who live in the real world. We might even silently say to ourselves, well, no wonder Jesus later in the Gospel says, do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, I have come to bring division. So, if we are not the poor, the hungry, or the downtrodden, or the oppressed, where do we hear the good news from the Gospel? Luke's Jesus is fulfilling God's compassion for the oppressed. Jesus' first words in Luke's Gospel repeat the words from Isaiah, the first words that Jesus speaks to someone. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Throughout Luke's Gospel, Jesus lives this out by talking with those on the margins, challenging the status quo, and convicting those who feel certain that they are righteous and that they deserve the privileges that they have. When we live in the center rather than the margins, we enjoy privilege rather than prejudice or discrimination. We enjoy the security instead of chaos. We enjoy love instead of hate. Most of the time, we should heed Jesus' words and shake in our boots and feel badly about our lives. Should we do that? Perhaps feel uneasy about our reward in heaven? To be very honest, and to be very clear with you about this, in the Gospel of Luke, I think Jesus does want us in the center, those of us who are relatively privileged, and I certainly include myself in that, does want us to ponder for a moment. Jesus wants us to think about for a moment what he is saying. But he doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to move on. Jesus wants all of us, to live in peace, joy, hope, and love. All of us, and that includes you, and even me. But Jesus is also saying, to get to that life of abundant peace, joy, hope, and love, we must become one of his disciples. And one of the commitments to being a disciple of Christ is realizing material things and earthly prestige will not make you happy in the end. There will always be a bigger house you could have. There will always be a better position for you to achieve. There will always be that darn neighbor who has better and more stuff than you. True happiness, Jesus is saying, comes from following the way, from being who you are authentically, for being the loved child that God created you to be. And if I may, I will add one more very important commitment to being a disciple of Christ. This is All Saints Day, and in our church history, there have been thousands of saints. Some have done wondrous, incredibly large, unbelievable things. But you know, most of them became saints by doing small, good things day by day, by doing God's love one moment at a time, over and over again. When we live by that principle, day by day, it is truly astounding what it can do for our life's journey. Luke's gospel certainly favors the oppressed, the hungry, the poor, the marginalized, and promises them the abiding love of God. And they will get that. Thanks be to God. But Jesus also wants all of us to know this, that as we walk on our journey from day to day, with our own two hands and our own two feet, in our own minds, and our own souls, we too can be the abiding love of God for others. Luke's gospel, in the end, is meant to inspire all of us, no matter where we are or who we are. That is the good news that Jesus Christ brought. Just that, that good news. And the fact that we first got the good news from the lowly shepherds should really be no surprise at all. Amen.